get all the details from this Green Divas My Earth 360 report and lots more on thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com and MyEarth360.com. Special week, Green Diva Lens in New Jersey. Yay. Woo. Who knew anybody would be that excited to be in New Jersey, man?
I'm a Jersey girl, a green Jersey girl, temporarily.
Welcome to the Green Divas radio show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
And yeah, we have a rockin' show today.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of
show.
Fun.
We're it's just always fun.
Stockpiling segments for this show and future
shows. It's great
shows.
To be in the studio. It makes a world of difference, at least for me.
Well, it's a lot more fun for me because all these other segments you get to really participate
right.
in.
Otherwise, I'm just like, I have no idea what you guys talked about.
What
tonight.
The heck?
Whatever.
So we had fun this morning. We got to talk to Stephanie Spear.
Yes, the founder of EcoWatch.
Yeah, and she's got a lot of interesting, that's where we pull a lot of our environmental
mm-hmm.
news.
Right.
So Lynn gave up her My Earth 360 to Stephanie today.
I did, but I was still in it, so that was good.
I know.
It was nice talking to her.
Got to be in it to win it, man. And then we did a feature today with Todd McLean, who's the editor-in-chief of Global Chorus.
I just love that guy. He's one of my newest eco-heroes,
I would have to say.
He's just so passionate and gracious and inspiring.
Really? What mm-hmm. a nice guy.
Yeah.
We just chatted with him on and off the air quite a bit. And just so people know, Green Diva Lynn is featured in this book amazing. You were mentioned in this segment between mm-hmm. Nelson Mandela and the Dalai Lama. So, hey,
When does that ever happen? I was one of 365 contributors to this book,
I think
Global
that's...
Chorus. And yeah, I'm very honored to
Hats
have been part
off
of it.
To G.D. Lynn. It's very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be also sharing more about that in a post.
Right. Right.
So you
we'll
can...
have a couple of some excerpts from the book.
Yeah. So what else? We're talking about butter coffee. Like,
yes.
Yum.
That is delicious. We have a foodie file segment on that.
Yeah. That's
it's my new obsession.
Well, I
bada bing, bada boom, butter coffee.
Yeah, butter coffee. Butter coffee. Yeah. I started doing it and I turned Lynn onto it and now I've, recruited.
Yeah. She's created a monster.
Another butter coffee queen.
I'm gonna test out some butter tea.
Yep, that's not a bad idea.
Butter matcha tea. We'll do an experiment because
okay.
I brought my matcha tea.
Because we're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We're healthy foodie Green Divas.
Yes, we are.
Speaking of that, we did another eco sexy menopause is sexy.
Because we're also healthy and sexy.
And sexy and, maybe menopausal. Maybe
definitely that.
But we talked to Brigitte Mars, the lovely Brigitte Mars, who has the book The Sexual Herbal,
mm-hmm.
Among other things. And she talked to us about aromatherapy to help during those times, these times for us.
And smack dab in the middle of it.
Smack dab in the hot middle. Power surge, anybody?
Right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
It's entertainment, really.
Oh, not for my family.
Yeah.
They would have to argue about that.
Yeah. And then we have another fun...
Gardening
segment with the Wisconsin vegetable gardeners, Joey mm-hmm. and Holly Baird. Talking about, and we may have aired this before, but for some reason I can't find it. Hello, Mercury retrograde meltdown a couple of weeks ago. But they do a really fun 2-minute on preserving, options for preserving. And I think, mm-hmm. Our farmer's market is still going, but not for too much longer.
Right.
And, there's certain things you can still get your hands on and preserve for
mm-hmm.
the winter.
Exactly.
So what else? Should we mention that we're gearing up for some fun stuff?
Oh, yeah. We've got a big project going on, and we are going to be reaching out to all of our listeners.
Yeah.
With some kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, very
fun. Asking for help.
Very fun. Very fun stuff. And what else? Anything else we want to... Did you know that Stitcher... Stitcher's like boosted that. They're merging or something with another company.
Oh, really?
They changed some of their platform format. So there's a lot of cool stuff going on Stitcher. I think they're available in certain cars now.
Wow, I didn't know that.
With a new app. So
my car's too old to handle that.
Yeah. Well, my car's not, actually. Mm-hmm.
Right, you've got some good stuff going on with your car.
I got some cool wheels. So I'm just telling people, go check us out on Stitcher. Check out Stitcher. Look up the Green Divas. Please like us there.
Yes, please. Leave a review.
Please leave a review. And what else? Yeah, I got to drive my little car. You know, I've had it for 3 months. I have never put gas in it.
That's
even
just
though
amazing.
It's got a gas tank. Because
and how many miles have you put on it so far?
Over 1,000.
Yeah, wow.
I drove up to the Berkshires and back. Mm-hmm. And I want to also tell you that there I was being this cool little eco driver. And I got coal rolled, man.
Oh, that's right. You said that.
Like a truck pulled around me, and I had two pipes, extra pipes up next to the cab, and it was blowing out smoke on me. And I realized, oh, my God, he's doing that because I'm in this little eco-friendly car, and he doesn't like me.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
No,
just saying.
That's rude.
I really just wanted to,
only had a solar panel on your roof. And then the sun reflected on it just right so that it would, like, get in their eyes or something.
Laser sun meltdown something.
Just
an
eco-friendly way of getting back at the coal rollers.
Yeah, here you
I
go. Blind you. Anyway. So
just an idea.
Just don't get it. Anyway.
No,
I love
right.
my little eco-friendly car.
I love
car.
That car.
My C-Max.
I kind of added
Ford
some
C-Max.
Sweat to it today.
Yeah.
Sorry about
that.
That
was really cute. We played in the woods a little bit with Gracie.
Mm-hmm.
Did a funny selfie.
Yes, we did.
So
follow
anyway.
Us on Instagram, by the way. The Green Divas.
Yes, please.
And then Green Diva Lynn. Green Diva Meg, because I'm not going by that handle.
Oh, that's right. You're not there.
I'm just Lynn Hasselberger.
But Green Diva Meg needs followers. I
feel
kind of sad.
Follow them. Follow her and the Green Divas.
I need friends.
Do it, people.
Anyway, stay tuned. There's a lot of great stuff coming up today. Overwhelmed by environmental news? Listen to the Green Diva's My Earth 360 report for the latest eco news bits from around the globe, carefully curated and born by our need to say WTF. But we also love to share encouraging stories and, of course, ways that you can make your voice count for the Earth. It's not just my Earth, it's our Earth, and together we can make a difference. A very special My Earth 360 today for two reasons. One, we have Green Diva Lynn in the studio. Yay!
Yay!
The crowd
is there
here.
Applause?
Yeah, we'll have our applause.
Okay.
And we're she's lending her time to Stephanie Spear, who is the founder and CEO of EcoWatch.
Yes, indeed. EcoWatch is a must read every day.
Yeah, if you haven't seen EcoWatch, climb out from under the rock and check them out.
Transforming green.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey.
Hi, Stephanie.
Introduction. How are you guys?
Great.
Yeah, well, Stephanie's been in the studio before. Last time Lynn was here, as a matter of fact, in May.
That's right.
So we'll just have to make do with a phone call for now. So what is, the hot news? Because you guys are always kind of grabbing the news first, the eco news. What's hot off the press today?
I'd say the hottest news off the press today would be some groundbreaking maps detailing acidity of the Earth's oceans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that.
We can talk election stuff, I feel like. That was last week, but,
right.
Everything really is reflective of that news, but there is some great maps out today. A team of scientists from Columbia University in University of Colorado published groundbreaking set of maps that offer a comprehensive picture of the acidity of the Earth's oceans as they absorb climate change causing carbon emissions. So yes, another climate change piece, this one really detailing the impact that climate change is having on our world's oceans.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think it's important. And then, of course, in the same e-newsletter right underneath that was a very funny video, but not so funny when you mm-hmm. think about it. John Oliver talking about this climate change debate and why the hell are we debating this? There's no debate.
Yeah, I think I just came out of a rock and discovered John Oliver.
Oh, isn't he fun?
Really, you know, hear a finger on the pulse of the news, but didn't know very much about him at all till I discovered a couple videos. And that one is a must-see.
Yeah, he speaks
one,
the truth.
One, just for comic relief alone. And it's not a new video. It's actually a video from this spring
yep.
that went viral, and John Oliver's with Bill Nye, yes, Bill Nye the mm-hmm. science guy,
yeah.
and they put the climate debate to rest. So definitely recommend that. And a much newer John Oliver also went live on the site today, and the headline reads, "Watch John Oliver's Salmon Cannon Hit Stuart Colbert, Phelan, and More."
And, you know, I haven't seen that one yet.
I love humor, you know, living daily, this environmental news day in and day out. I
yeah.
really need some comic relief. And
oh, definitely.
I find that often from John Stewart and now my new favorite, John Oliver. And so, you know, it's so funny, but the real story here is about the impact of hydroelectric dams on the environment.
Yeah.
And, yep. Barely touches on it, but, you know, you read the article. We have a great link to the 10 reasons dams are destroying the planet. And that really covers, you know, many very important issues alone, but you get to laugh through it. So it's fun.
Well, I think it's important because the news can get so heavy sometimes and make you feel a little hopeless. So if you can't laugh at ourselves and our own stupidity from time to time, as humans, collectively.
Yes, I have to get my comedy fix on a daily basis because all of this stuff can be daunting. And it's good to have, you've got to have humor in your life. And it's also a great way to raise awareness about these things because...
Yeah, you get people's attention,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, well, we're really happy always when these great late night comics hit on environmental issues. One, it really does make more people aware, and then it gives us who are dealing with these issues every day a little relief.
Yeah.
So I was reading about the dams and how they're changing the face of the Earth. I didn't realize that they've fragmented 2/3 of the world's largest, or of the large rivers, and flooded a land area the size of Spain. I mean, wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Huge.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a big environmental and social issue because it displaces people all over the world. And that's a huge, like in India,
yeah.
it's a huge issue what's going on there. So, you know, people often see it, of course, it's a renewable energy, but probably not one that would top my list.
Right, and they're costly to maintain. And why not solar or wind? I mean, those seem like better choices for sure.
Well, they don't displace people.
Right.
I mean,
and there are smaller hydro projects that are finding ways to still allow the river to flow naturally.
Yep.
And still provide migration for fish. But it's really these huge hydroelectric projects that are just bad for planet and people.
Like the Hoover Dam. Isn't the Hoover
yeah.
Dam? Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. that thing's crazy.
You know, another piece on the site that went viral yesterday, it's a Climate News Network piece by Tim Radford, Why Climate Scientists Receive Death Threats.
Ugh.
Yeah,
and
that's pretty
definitely
scary.
Something, yeah, I would suggest checking out. It's on the pieces virtually on the new book by George Marshall, Why Our Brains Are Wired to Ignore Climate Change. And it's just, it's a really great piece that talks about Michael Mann and the death threats and other abusive emails that he's received from climate deniers.
Well, and I see that I was reading Glenn Beck. He called on climate scientists to commit suicide.
That's just,
I mean,
weird.
Wow.
It's right up there with the coal rollers. Like, I just, I was driving.
We were talking about that yesterday.
I was driving down from Massachusetts, and a coal roller, I've never seen one live and in person, went around me and, you know, released some yucky black stuff, like, because he must have seen that I was driving an electric hybrid whatever. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, my God, I've been coal rolled.
And for those who don't know what coal rolling is, it's the pickup trucks that retrofit themselves to have smokestacks, like a semi.
Extra, yeah.
And it's like this black smoke that comes out, and they shoot it off at people to – basically, they feel like they have a right to pollute.
I just don't understand the mentality.
Off.
Like,
no,
really,
I don't
why
either.
Would anybody – but it's right up there with the mentality that would – ask people, scientists, to commit suicide or make death threats. I just don't understand why it's that threatening to people. I guess I got to read the book, right, Stephanie?
Yes. I'm not sure that after reading the book you'll feel like you have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You just might be even more angry.
Oh, no. No, no. Well, then we'll just have to bounce that out with more John Oliver, I guess.
And there was an article, too, about climate change could be increasing pollen levels by 200%.
Is that why my sinuses are such
that
a
mess?
That
could be why.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Poor Meg over here. She's suffering.
Yeah, I didn't used to have allergies. I never had allergies. Mm-hmm. And now it's unbearable.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are finding that. I'm allergic to a lot of things and a lot of food that I never was allergic to before.
Huh.
So I think that everybody's beginning to, you know, realize the impact that climate change has, not just on the environment, but also on people.
Crazy people. Yeah, I'm really, sorry, I'm just not even making sense anymore.
You're flummoxed.
See? Yeah, I'm flummoxed because my sinuses are so full. So I also like the article you had about renewable energy jobs, that there's more renewable energy jobs. There's just no excuse anymore for, you know, not supporting renewable energy people.
Yeah, it's a really interesting new study by the UK's Energy Research Center. And they took a deep dive into job creation claims made by proponents of renewable energy and energy efficiency. So there's lots of job reports out there. This one takes a little different angle, and definitely worth a read. You know, we clearly know that installation of wind and solar projects create jobs. Renewable energy efficiency projects create a mm-hmm. lot of jobs. And this report called Low Carbon Jobs, the Evidence for Net Job Creation from Policy Support for Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy, you know, really hits the nail on the head. You know, without policies, the proper policies in place to encourage investment in renewable energy and energy efficiency, you know, that's where we really need most of the energy going, is into these policies, not just on the federal level, but also on the local and state level.
So this is why elections are so bloody important, people. I'm sorry, can I just whine for like 30 seconds about how upsetting it is that, you know, we're walking backwards a little bit? I don't know. I just
hate politics.
Yeah. Talk about feeling hopeless. I voted. I don't feel like it did anything, but I voted.
Well, what's some encouraging news out there? We got to have some good news, right?
Yes, of course. You have to have some good news.
Yeah, she pauses. I know.
Let's see. What could that be?
So there's a couple great pieces. So there's a brand new film out called Occupy the Farm.
Huh.
I really do believe the local foods movement is empowering and inspirational. And typically full of good news.
Yep.
We have an article on EcoWatch, Urban Farmers Unite to Occupy the Farm.
Cool.
Right.
And it's about in Berkeley, California, there was land that was going to be snatched up by developers for shopping malls, subdivisions, big box stores. And these urban farmers said, went in and they planted seeds and they took over this land.
Wow.
They planted 15,000 vegetable seedlings and they won. They,
that just gave me the chills.
They got to keep the food, the land, so they could feed their local community. So there's a great trailer on the site.
Fantastic.
That you can check out. And,
I love
would definitely recommend watching that. It just premiered the end of last week. In Berkeley, California, and you'll be able to see screenings all over the U.S. So,
yeah, and you see these empty strip malls, and then this is happening at least by me, I'm sure by a lot of people. You see these empty buildings of like an old Kmart or whatever it might be, and then they're building a new strip mall like across the street. And it just maddens me. If only they could do something like this.
So speaking of
doing something. That's very inspiring.
It is inspiring. But let's see. Our last piece of this particular segment is always taking action.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any recommendations for anything our listeners can do to take action?
Sure. Another positive piece on our site is about another school, this one in the city of Boston, joining Meatless Monday.
Oh, great. We love Meatless
Monday. A great way to take action is to, you know, vote with your dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, how do you eat each day? I think, you know, you can vote 3 times a day by what you choose to purchase for food for your body. Typically what's good for the environment is also healthy for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say a great call to action would be that people really become more conscious before purchasing their food products.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, if you buy organic, now you are almost 99% sure that is non-GMO.
Mm-hmm.
You know that pesticides aren't sprayed on the food, which will keep you healthier, but you also know that then the farmers didn't have to spray pesticides on the crops, which keeps them healthier.
Right.
And certainly keeps the planet healthier. Quick thing, you know, someone once came up to me and said, why do you buy organic bananas? Come on, that peel is so thick. There's no way it's going to impact you. And I said, well, I don't know if it would impact me or not, but I sure know that it impacts the farmers.
Absolutely.
Spray those pesticides.
Yeah, so we want to give them a reason to keep doing healthier things for the earth and themselves and us. Why not?
Yep, and you just can't just think about yourself. You got to think about the planet, and you got to think about the farmer. So I think making conscious decisions on the food that you eat each day would be a really great call to action.
Perfect.
Well, it's great to talk to you again, Stephanie, and everybody should go check out ecowatch.com. Is it .com or .org?
It's ecowatch.com.
Okay.
Highly recommend, right in the right rail, to sign up for our top news of the day. You'll receive one email a day with the most important environmental issues of that moment.
Right on.
Great.
Thank you, Stephanie. Hope we get to talk to you soon.
Take care, Stephanie.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks.
Get all the details from this Green Diva's My Earth 360 report and lots more on thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com and myearth360.com.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Another fun segment with Green Diva Lynn. Yay!
And Green Diva Meg.
Yay! Well, it's just extra fun to have Lynn here in the studio.
It's very fun.
So, yeah, so Lynn's staying here at my home and, you know, which happens to have the studio.
I feel very welcome here, having a wonderful time.
She and I have interesting, you know, parallel sort of morning routines,
mm-hmm.
right, in terms of like yoga and smoothies and all that. But I'm introducing you to some new things, right?
Bada bing.
Bada bing. The better butter coffee.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah, I, kind of stumbled upon this butter coffee concept, and I was reading about it, and I decided to sort of make up my own based on a lot of things I was reading.
Mm-hmm.
And just so people know,
and
this,
you're very much a gourmet.
Yeah, I'm feeding Lynn very well. Now she knows why I'm not
or
skinny.
Gourmand.
Gourmand. I don't know.
What is the word?
I think you're right.
Gourmet cook.
Anyway, this butter coffee thing came from this bulletproof coffee. This guy, Dave Asprey, mm-hmm. Some wellness guy, developed. And it has to do with using coconut oil. He uses sort of a souped up coconut oil stuff called MCT oil.
Which I had never heard of before.
Yeah, and a friend of mine gave me some of that when she heard I was doing this butter coffee thing, and I know I'm all over the place, but I'm just saying, I used a whole tablespoon, and I had some really painful results.
Kind of like bullets.
Liquid bullets,
not
yeah.
So bulletproof.
Not so bulletproof. Anyway, but the whole concept is to use these healthy oils and fats, including grass-fed butter.
Mm-hmm. Which is, butter has been so demonized, and you don't necessarily think of it as being healthy. But the key is the grass-fed part.
Right, because grass-fed, and if you can get it raw and unpasteurized, so much better. But mm-hmm. even the pasteurized version, it has unbelievable amounts. We were reading a couple of different sources that seem, quite reputable, credible. There's more vitamin A. There's more carotene in grass-fed butter than there is in carrots.
Right.
What's up with that?
Who would have thought?
A, B, C, D, E, K, K2. I don't know. It's like, I thought K2 were skis. Anyway.
It's anti-inflammatory also.
Right. Which is, what I've been working with a lot of oils for that for myself. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, this coffee's supposed to help boost your metabolism, and have an effect on your brain, supposed to make us sharper. I don't know if that's happening.
I could use that.
I could use more of that. And so anyway, I thought...
And you have lost a couple of pounds, you said.
I have. I've lost a couple of pounds since starting this, and I am feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love it.
Oh, I'm obsessed. I can't wait to have some more.
So I've developed this recipe based on a couple of the different sort of credible sources that I have. One was Wellness Mama, mm-hmm. and a couple of other ones. And I just, this is the way I always operate. I have to, make my own.
Right.
But
that's
I combined
the gourmand in you.
The gourmand. The creative geek. And
oui,
so,
oui.
The creative foodie. So what I did was incorporate a couple of the other sort of superfood things that I used for other purposes for me, including organic cinnamon, powdered cinnamon, mm-hmm. a little bit of organic powdered vanilla.
Right.
I use a little bit of cayenne pepper. And, of course, I prefer coconut oil to this MCT stuff, but I'm going to warn people, even with coconut oil, start with maybe a half of a tablespoon and work up to a whole tablespoon, because it can be tough on your system if you're not used to it.
Right.
And I use 1 teaspoon of, that's all,
mm-hmm.
of the grass-fed butter, which we happen to have in our local grocery store.
Yes.
And all this other fun stuff. And I use 1 teaspoon of maple syrup.
Oh, yeah.
In 12 ounces of coffee, because I just want that. And then I use a little bit of the really good powdered stevia, the sort of unadulterated version, not Truvia.
Mm-hmm.
I use just a little, like a half a teaspoon of that.
Right. Could grow your own.
Right. And just to enhance the flavor of the maple syrup without adding a lot of sugar. And mm-hmm. It really, it's like.
And you throw it in a blender.
You throw it in a blender.
Which makes it just is so creamy. You don't have to add milk to it. It's got just this texture that. It's like a dessert.
It's like a fancy latte. It's not too sweet. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of this ripe, mellow, warm, fuzzy.
With
yum.
A little kick to it.
A little kick to it. That's my cayenne pepper. But you don't mm-hmm. even taste the cayenne
right,
pepper,
it's not
right?
Like yeah. It's not, hot.
Yeah, you're not like, oh, man, way. What's up with that?
Right.
No, it's a nice blend.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo. I have to say that.
Yeah, that's she's decided to name it that. I like that. So anyway, we'll post a recipe with this and check it out.
Try it at home.
We're loving it. Okay, folks, stay tuned. More coming up.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Hi, I'm Mariel Hemingway, and you're listening to Green Divas Radio, and you're loving your life.
Wishing you had a green thumb? Or want to learn more about sustainable gardening outdoors and in? Expert Green Divas and Dude Gardeners share tips for everything from composting to growing herbs in your kitchen. Listen to the Green Divas Green Thumb for low-stress gardening tips.
This is Gardening in 2 Minutes. We work very hard to grow the vegetables that we're going to eat. But when we grow enough, we have an abundance, so we need to know how to preserve that harvest to enjoy it all year round. There are several methods of doing this.
The first one that has become more popular, especially over the last couple of years, is water bath canning. Many people water bath can to preserve their fruits and things like tomatoes. Those are high acid foods. High acid foods can be water bath canned. Also, low acid foods with the addition of vinegar and salt and sugar can also be canned as a pickle or something sweet. There's also high pressure canning. And pressure canning is when you can low acid foods such as beans, potatoes, pumpkin, things like that that are of a low acid variety. You need the extra high temperature of the pressure canner. Then there's dehydrating. Many people will dehydrate, especially things like tomato skins, onions, fruits, and other vegetables just to have a nice quick snack or even to rehydrate them for later on. Then there's just basically a root cellar type concept. Now, you might not have a root cellar, but you might have a cool, dark place you can keep fruits and vegetables in, such as squash, a winter squash you can keep in there. Even potatoes and onions will keep in a root cellar type situation, a cool, dark, dry area. Then there's freezing. Freezing is very easy to do. You can do this for just about anything as long as you follow proper technique. If it's a vegetable, you usually have to parboil it. If it's a fruit, then you usually can freeze it individually on a sheet, you know, cookie sheet, and then you can, after that's done freezing, you go ahead and you put it in your bag. For instance, we prefer to freeze our green beans over our canning them because we like the texture better. And then there's some things that we prefer to can over freezing or dehydrate over canning.
For more information on preserving the harvest that you've grown, our weekly video productions, as well as our free downloadable digital quarterly magazine, you can find all that information at
thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.
For Gardening in 2 Minutes, I'm Joy Baird.
And I'm Holly Baird.
Inspired to grow more organic stuff? We are. To learn more about this Green Divas Green Thumb episode and all kinds of other great green information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. Being green can be so sexy. Well, at least you can be sexy and keep it green. Check out the Green Divas Eco Sexy Podcast for ways to keep it green in the bedroom or wherever you like to have sex. Yay, and another wonderful Eco Sexy segment with Brigitte Mars, author, herbalist, teacher, wise woman extraordinaire. And we're talking, this is the third part in our Menopause is Sexy series, and she's really given us, well, and me in particular, I'm fascinated because, you know, it's relevant for me, but some wonderful information that, you know, not just about menopause necessarily, some of this will apply to other
other things. And as always, Brigitte is full of great information. Hi, Brigitte.
Hi, thank you so much.
So I think today we're going to talk a bit now about essential oils that can be helpful during this time.
Absolutely. So, you know, when I first heard about aromatherapy, I thought, well, it probably doesn't really do that much. But, you know, we're finding out that essential oils are really powerful. They can activate different moods. They can stimulate hormonal production. They can stimulate libido. And they're really great allies. And the art of aromatherapy is said to have been introduced by Aphrodite, or Venus,
well,
who is also known as the goddess of perfume. And, you know, we may forget what a person looks like, what they sound like, but what they smell like can linger on in memory even longer than any of our other memories.
Yeah.
And we know that our nasal cavities are really close to our brain. So if we smell something, it can stimulate states of consciousness. I mean, obviously, there's a huge industry of, you know, perfumes that are supposed to, you know, seduce and you know, help you find your mate and all that. But, you know, really pure plant essential oils are much healthier, not only for you to put on your body, but also for the environment, because it means that somewhere on the face of the earth there's going to be a field of roses or lavender or jasmine. So what are the essential oils that are known to help libido? We need to keep in mind that aromatherapy can be very personal. So even though a book might say, you know, rose opens your heart chakra and makes you feel loving and helps promote forgiveness, if you have a negative memory associated with rose, it may, you know, make you feel more anxious. So now, it is interesting that there was a study to find out what smells were the most sexually turn-ons for men. And the smells were pumpkin pie spice and cinnamon buns.
That's hilarious.
Which both have cinnamon. And it's also been found that women tend to prefer more floral smells and men tend to prefer more food smells. But I think there's a way we can all work together on this. And so know that, you know, our bodies do produce pheromones, which are chemical messengers. They're kind of like, you know, hormones, but they are designed to give off a very subtle scent. So jasmine is an essential oil that is said to calm fear and anxiety, be mildly euphoric. In the Kama Sutra, it was sacred to Kama, the Hindu love god. But, you know, it's a beautiful fragrance. But I do want to say, be careful of just using any essential oil. When we talk about aromatherapy, we want good quality, pure essential oils.
Yeah.
It might be okay if they're diluted in a vegetable oil, but you do not want to just use synthetic fragrances because those won't have therapeutic properties, and they may not even be good to put on your body.
Can I ask about a particular one?
Sure.
Lang Lang?
Ylang Ylang. I was just going to talk about
that
one.
Were you really? Because it was in my head, because I'm telling you, Lynn and I went to Hawaii, which everybody pretty much knows at this point, and there was this huge Ylang Ylang tree in the courtyard of the place, the first place that we stayed. It was intoxicating. It was like we just wanted to sit out in the courtyard all day.
Isn't that beautiful? Well, Ylang Ylang, which means flower of flowers, is not only regarded as an aphrodisiac, an antidepressant, but it helps to relax a nervous partner. It's said to improve orgasmic ability. In Indonesia, Ylang Ylang flowers are scattered on a newlywed's bed. But, you know, you could be married for 30 years and 50 years and still want to scatter some Ylang Ylang flowers on the bed.
Yeah.
It's said to promote desire and foster a state of peacefulness. So that is a great one.
Well, it's too bad Lynn and I, you know, we're both married to different men or whatever. We're just business partners. But yeah, it's too bad we weren't there with our honey pies.
Oh, well, there's always another trip.
That's what I'm thinking.
So what are some ways to use essential oils? One is after you wash your hairbrush, you can put a few drops in your brush, on your brush, and then brush your hair with it. So you are like smelling this little cloud of perfume. and those who hug you or get close to you will smell it. Another thing that's great for menopause is to take an 8-ounce bottle, fill it with water, and add about 20 drops of some kind of cooling essential oil like peppermint or lavender. And then if you feel like you're getting a hot flash, close your eyes and your mouth and just mist your face and your neck and chest, and that cools you down right away.
What a brilliant idea. Oh, yeah. My God. I am going to do that immediately.
And, you know, have it in a few different places. You could have one by the bed and one in the kitchen and one by your desk.
And one in your purse at all times.
There you go. There you go. And so, you know, the cooling essential oils, again, I think of peppermint, lavender, lime, lemon. Just be aware that lemon and lime can increase photosensitivity. So if you go out in the sun, you may be more likely to get sunburned.
Right.
So we don't want to do that. There's also one called Clary Sage, which to me smells a little bit musky. I can't say it's my favorite smell, but it's kind of very sexual smelling and rooted. And it's some women will rub it on their bellies to help regulate their cycles, or it's been used to enhance fertility.
Huh.
So that's an interesting scent, but it's a member of the mint family.
Okay.
And so you know, I mentioned rose, jasmine, ylang ylang.
Now, ylang ylang, just because I'm hung up on it now and I want to recreate this magical, intoxicating smell, I've never seen ylang ylang flowers here in the Northeast. I'm assuming I would have to buy the essential oil.
You'd have to buy the essential oil. It's definitely a tropical-loving plant. You know, you might find it growing in, you know, Florida or Southern California. But, yeah, where I've seen it is, you know, the Caribbean and the tropics.
Right.
So so that can be a great ally. And, you know, add a few drops to your bath water. So make every night a surprise. You get out of the bath and you smell like, surprise. Some people like patchouli, but I think, again, it's a member of the mint family, and it can be
strong,
and so not everybody loves it. Sandalwood is another one of the herbs that's often regarded as a great oil for libido, for example, and relaxing inhibitions. However, sandalwood trees are endangered in the wild. So I've really switched to using different herbs.
Okay, because they have.
Yeah, we don't want to create more endangered species.
No. Well, this is an awful lot to think about. I'm very, I feel really armed with a lot of great information. Thank you again, Brigitte. And people can go to thegreendivas.com and see a post related to this podcast. And of course, Brigitte, what is your website again?
It is BrigitteMars.com, spelled B-R-I-G-I-T-T-E, Mars, M-A-R-S, like the planet, .com.
Yes, and people should go visit Brigitte's website as well for all kinds of fabulous information. Again,
I have a whole book out called The Sexual Herbal, which
will
have a lot of this information in there and more.
Well, thank you again, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
Turned on yet? Well, go to thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com, to learn more about this Green Divas Eco-Sexy podcast and find other low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people, who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
All right, another special time in the studio because we have Green Diva Lynn. Yay!
Yippee!
I know, we got to make this. We just stretch this out.
I just
more.
Have to move in.
I know.
I don't think my family would be too happy.
Well, you have to bring them with you, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, our Green Diva Lynn is marvelous in so many ways, but it's exciting when other folks recognize the hard work she does and for the environment and for all of us. And one of the exciting projects she's been involved with is headed up by Todd McLean, who's the editor-in-chief of a book, and I don't know if there's other things involved, but the Global Chorus,
mm-hmm.
which is a really inspiring compilation of some of the leading, I don't know, what do you want to call them?
Environmentalists.
Well, environmentalists,
and
okay.
And leaders in just making the planet a better place, really.
So it was a really brilliantly conceived concept, I think, that this book. And Todd is not only busy with this, he's a freelance writer, an editor, a musician. What the heck else do you do, Todd?
I mean, seems like this is keeping him pretty busy.
I know.
It's such a pleasure to be speaking with both of you today. Thank you so much for having me on the program. And days usually are very busy for me, I must say. And this has been 4.5 years in the making with Global Chorus, an absolute labor of love. And
mm-hmm.
it's been incredibly hard work, but I would tell you, I would do it all again in a heartbeat. It's been an amazing adventure assembling this. And
what started it? I mean, where did this idea come from, really?
Well, it sparked out of an anxiety that I had personally about the trajectory of humanity on this planet. And I knew that other people are feeling, you know, similar anxieties about where we're headed as a human species. And it just got to this point where it was in the spring of 2010, and I just couldn't really take it anymore. I felt like I describe it like this often. As you said, I'm a musician, and so I felt like I was a musician playing in a band on the Titanic.
Oh,
the ship
right, yeah,
going down, and knowing very well about humanity's ship in terms of how we are really going down.
Yeah,
and
we're all just rearranging the deck chairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah,
we've got to do more.
But I like, because he's a musician, because apparently the musicians just played and played and played. You know,
yeah,
it's very creepy.
Exactly it.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was, you know, having a great time rocking out as a musician, but I just had this, this knowingness inside me that I had to do something more to try to help the planet. And I came to this idea of how I would love to read a daily reader of one person's response per day mm-hmm. on the future of humanity. What kind of hope do we have to get through the environmental and social crises that we face, and how can we do it? And getting people to answer that in just a page of words each, have a daily reader with 365 different people from all around the world, seven continents involved. I thought, you know what, someone has to do a reader like that. Why has that not been done yet?
Right.
And then people around me, my wife and colleagues and everyone, they just kept saying, well, why don't you try doing the project yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like such a pipe dream idea. I thought it was a perfect thing for like a publishing house or a guy right. with a lot of connections mm-hmm. to do, not some guy in Prince Edward Island on his laptop in his farmhouse.
Seems perfect to me.
So I just kept working at it, and eventually the pieces just kept falling into place. And it was the epitome of a snowball effect. I got the right people on board right away. Like David Suzuki gave me a piece of words. He was the first person to come on board for Global Chorus. And then
Wonderful.
Jane Goodall shortly after. And then I did a phone interview with Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And
the list is amazing. You have Maya Angelou. You mm-hmm. have Nelson Mandela, I think, right?
Mm, yes. Yeah. And
the Green Diva Lama. Lynn.
Green Diva,
I'm shoehorned in there.
Yeah,
between the Dalai Lama and Nelson Mandela. Nice.
Right?
Well, see, that's the thing. I wanted to make sure that the conversation was broad
mm-hmm.
and not just with global leaders, not just, you know, with well-known environmental thinkers, but I really wanted to include people who maybe weren't quite as well-known, but who have obviously profound advice on the subject at hand, and Lynn is certainly one of those. You fall into that category, and then, of course, I found you on Twitter. I had
that's because I'm a tweetaholic.
Yeah, she's saving the
Everybody
earth.
Finds me there.
No, you're saving the earth one tweet at a time.
That's
honey.
Right.
Yes,
you
that are.
Is my mantra.
It's true. It's a beautiful thing, and with everything you're doing with My Earth 360, and I just
and
I
now
love
the Green Divas.
And now the Green Divas, exactly. So I love the work that you're doing, and it was such a pleasure to bring you on board and bring you into the chorus.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I'm so honored to be part of that, and it's just amazing that how it came together. I'm very inspired by the fact that you did it.
Oh, thank you.
And you have so many people that contributed that it's such an inspiring, just the cover alone just gives me the chills. It's just a beautiful cover, and I have yet to read every single one. I'm waiting to get the hard copy so I can do it that way, you know, it in my hands.
I'd like the idea of a daily, you know, like daily inspirations, digestible. Right. It's not overwhelming because sometimes, I mean, you see, I have about 600 books in this studio that I can't get to all of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing interviews and I'm trying to, you know, read through all these books.
Right.
And there's many inspiring words in here, but it's overwhelming for me.
Yeah, this is something you could put by your bed and read it every night, or when you get up in the morning, just read the one and feel hope. Yeah.
Well, and you can really meditate on one thought or one theme from somebody.
I love that you guys are taking to that aspect because I really wanted it to make it a very easily digestible reader for, you know, people to just read one page of words, and we all have such busy lives and it's so difficult to find time to read in general. I struggle with it myself, and with Global Chorus I wanted to make it as broadly accessible and as broadly appealing of a book as possible. Because I know that, like, technical writing on the environmental issues that are at hand right now, in-depth, you know, analysis on climate change and you know, the whole host of other environmental issues that we're experiencing, this is necessary. But what I feel is most necessary in this time is to just have, as I said, a very, like, to make the conversation as broad and as open and as inviting as possible to get as many people on board with this conversation as possible.
Right. So it's not like just world leaders or spiritual leaders or any, you know, or environmental scientists. It's a real nice variety. So, I mean, there's something in there for everyone, and hopefully while you're reading it, there might be a point of view you hadn't thought of.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm hoping, and
I can't wait to get this book.
Well, and what's really wonderful about it is that it's a fundraising book, right? All proceeds from the sales will be distributed to some really great organizations that are helping the planet.
Yeah, it's true. I should specify it's the net proceeds. This project has been quite expensive for me personally.
Yeah. Oh, right. So that makes sense.
Yeah, with the initial income that's coming in, I have to pay off my expenses.
Oh, well, that's fair. Absolutely.
Net proceeds, and then beyond that, then, what's going to be divided up to the three organizations. It'll be the Jane Goodall Institute, Dave Suzuki Foundation, and Canadian Red Cross, and so they'll be
Excellent. Yeah. Well, and you know, let's just stop for a minute here because it's wonderful to throw ourselves on the front lines of saving Mama Earth, but it's not sustainable unless we take care of ourselves too. And I'm just saying that because we're about to throw into our own fundraising thing, and I think it's okay. And I'm just going to validate that. I think it's great that you take care of yourself, and I think it'll all ripple out from there, man.
Yeah, that's exactly the same page I'm on. And, everyone recognizes that there's time and expenses that go into projects. And, with the sales that are happening already, though, I'm pretty sure the initial expenses are going to be paid off quite easily, quite well. I don't know if you guys heard, but it hit near the top of the Amazon.ca environmental bestseller list.
Yeah, that's like fabulous.
3 weeks before its official release.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Yesterday we got the news that it's an Amazon.com editor's top pick of
2014. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. And so this is,
that's great.
The book has only been out for, it came out at the beginning of the month, so we're looking at
I got chills again.
Days.
What do you know?
Maybe it's just cold. I don't know.
I don't know.
kidding.
You know what? I'm finding that people are reacting just so strongly to this book. My wife and I were walking down Queen Street West in Toronto a couple of days ago, and we talked to a couple of people, and they actually, like, they burst into tears before my eyes.
Oh, wow. I just got chills again. Sorry, I just had to say that. It's true.
Well, they read, I have this little promo card describing what the book is about. They mm-hmm. read the question, they saw the people who were on board, and they just thought, wow, this is so amazing that this book has finally been done, and we were hugging in this jewelry bead store in Toronto. A beautiful moment, and I think I'm going to experience probably many more moments like that. It just seems people are receiving this in a profound way. It's pretty cool.
That's wonderful. What are you doing next? Or have you not thought about that yet?
Yeah, how do you top this one, man?
Next. Well, first I got to get through the promotion of Global Chorus.
That's
and
true.
Then I'm gonna, and we're on this book tour right now. So we're in Toronto, and mm-hmm. we're heading out to... we're doing dates all across Canada, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, and then down into the States.
Perfect. And, you know, I'm sure people can go to the website to find out where you're going to be appearing, I'm hoping.
The Global Chorus website is globalchorus.com.
Okay.
And we have a tour page on there that we are updating pretty much on a daily basis now.
Now, tell me, who else is going? Are there any of these amazing people, other than Green Diva Lynn, that are going to be appearing or doing any kind of interviews on behalf of the book?
Well, yes. The thing we're doing is in every city that we go to, we're inviting contributors out to the book signings, the events that are in their cities.
See, when you come down to New York, there must be some interesting folks. Maybe we could have somebody call in to the Green Diva show to just kind of, you know, give it a little promote.
Oh, that would be
Yeah,
cool.
One of the contributors. That would be a great idea.
Give it a big promote, you know. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Just saying.
If you go on the website, there's a map of contributors.
Cool.
You can zero in on each city and... every contributor that you see in that particular city will be invited to the event in that city. And so we're just...
Yeah, why leave it to New York? It could be from every possible contributor.
Well, we are global.
Exactly.
We are global. Mm-hmm. So good. Well, exactly. We'll continue probably to talk to you. I'm hoping that we'll get to talk to you again.
Maybe when he comes to New York.
Maybe when he comes down to New York.
That'd be great. It's December 11th that we're going to be at Two Moon Cafe in Brooklyn. That's our New York City event.
That's
and
nice.
And that'll be from 7 to 9 p.m. at Two Moon Cafe, Brooklyn. And, as I said, I'm going to be inviting all the New York City area contributors to that. And hopefully we'll get a good little gathering there. It's going to be wonderful.
Fun. Well, you got to get your hands on this book, people. And... thank you so much for being
Makes
inspired.
Makes a great gift for the holidays.
It sure does.
And anytime.
And thank you for sharing your inspiration and making, you know, manifesting this for all of us.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's just, it's a real, real pleasure to do this. And I really hope that lots of people join the chorus.
Join the chorus. Sing along. All right. Thanks so much.
Wonderful. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you very much.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.